Let's go right on into chapter 5. And God gives an outline here in this fifth chapter of Judah's sin, the conditions of her. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if you will find a man, if you can find a man. For if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. You see how many you can find. Go into the streets. Now there was some honest, God-fearing people, but not very many. But these weren't in the street. You just go in the broadways and see if you can find a man. And though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they say they swear falsely. Now, there's one thing in saying something and another thing in being something. I don't know about you, but I've had people agree with me, and I knew they didn't agree with me. You know what I'm saying? They, with their mouth, they would say one thing, but with their heart and their life, they would say something else. And people say a lot of things, but their life doesn't prove what's in their mouth. They can talk about the coming of the Lord. They can talk about Jesus, and they can even say, I love him. But you look at their lives, and you know this is false. You know that they don't love him, or they wouldn't act the way they do. They wouldn't hurt him. We don't hurt people we love, do we? Not deliberately. We might make some mistakes and hurt people, but we don't deliberately hurt people that we really love. So this was when they said, we believe the Lord liveth, we're on his side, and all these things. This was just so much talk, because this is what the Lord wanted them to say, wasn't it? We had that before in the early part of this chapter. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? And the answer to that is definitely yes. Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. And thou hast consumed them, but they have not refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock, or flint, I think one translation of that is. And they refuse to return or turn to him. And the Lord knows this, doesn't he? He knows their condition. And therefore, I, Jeremiah, said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord or the judgments of their God. Now, they may have a lot of money, but they're poor. They may be very educated, but they're foolish. They don't have anything because they don't know the judgment of their God. I will get me unto the great men, and I will speak unto them, for they have known the ways of the Lord and the judgment of their God. Now this is what should be, shouldn't it? The leaders, the great men of the city, should know these things, or they shouldn't be leaders. But notice the rest of this. But those have altogether broken the yoke and bursted the bonds. They separated themselves from the truth and the things of the Lord. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. But they didn't want that yoke. So they got a yoke, didn't they? They got a yoke of bondage. And then the next verse confirms this thought. Wherefore, because you broke this yoke, I'm going to give you another one. Wherefore, a lion out of the forest shall slay them. A wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over the cities. Every one that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backsliding are increased. It's getting worse and worse. Now we have a threefold description of the enemy that God is going to bring down upon them. The lion, the wolf, and the leper. These are different characteristics of the sufferings of destruction that they're going to experience. The lion attacks their prey different than a wolf does. Wolves usually run in packs, don't they? They attack things different. The wolf works in the evenings or at night, and the lion stalks his and waits till the prey gets on him and then pounces on it, while the leopard usually chases theirs down. And so his is different. And each aspect of the enemy operates differently. Watch over the city. Every one that goeth thence shall be torn in pieces. This is the consequence of this. And the reason is because of the transgressions and their backslidden condition. Verse 7 shows God is speaking again concerning their adultery. He says, how shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them. Could he just forget it? You see, he couldn't do this. Sin must be judged. And so God couldn't just pardon it. And it had to come upon them. They were as thin horses in the morning, everyone neighing or crying as a horse would after his neighbor's wife. And a terrible condition that man is. And I look at the world today, and I see a terrible, terrible condition of the world. There are a few good people, but the majority said, you know, go in the streets and see. Well, there were some good people there. It's like when Abram was at Sodom, he said, well, if there's just 10, you know, if you just find 10 down there, maybe you could save Sodom. Jeremiah had a scribe, I'm trying to think of his name, Barash, and he was a good man. And then Zedekiah was between the king and Jeremiah. There was some good men there at that time, but they were far between. Verse 9, shall I not visit these things, saith the Lord, and shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? And the answer to both questions is, yes, it should be. You're just in this judgment. Go ye upon her walls and destroy. Now this is a call again, I say, to the nation. Go ye upon her walls and destroy, but make not full end. Now this is the second time we have this phrase. Make not full end. Take away her battlements, for they are not the Lord's. And so God is going to judge her, but he's not going to go all the way. They're not going to be completely destroyed. Everything will be taken away, but they'll be given over to the nations. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dwelt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. They have belied, saith the Lord, and saith, it is not he. Neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see the sword or famine. See, this was a lie. There was false prophets there that had lied concerning this, and they denied the fact that God was going to judge the nation. And the prophets shall become wind. The thought of wind here is a little different than it was before. The thought of wind here has nothing. It's just a breeze going through. And the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. These false prophets. And there has always been false prophets. There are false prophets today. And there will be false prophets in the end time. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, or of might, of power, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire. See, it's going to be a burning word, and this people were wood. So the word will burn the wood. And again, we see the judgment, just a little bit different view of it, and it shall devour them. The people will be like wood. The word of God will be like fire. And you put the two together, it's the word, the wood that burns. So this is what God said. Because they spoke evil words, then God's word would burn. Lo, I bring a nation upon you from afar, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation. A nation whose language thou shalt not, thou knowest not, neither understand what they say. Now this nation, without doubt, is Babylon that will come down upon them. A mighty nation is an ancient nation. It's older than Jerusalem is. Abram come from Ur of the Chaldean, which was part of the Babylonian Empire, all of what we know now is Iraq, and they come down. But notice this last statement in here: whose language thou knowest not, neither understand what they say. Now this is quoted from Deuteronomy 28:49. Evelyn, you want to look that up and read it for me? And Maxine, while you're doing that, Isaiah 5 is similar to this. Read from 25 through 30, Maxine. It isn't that they couldn't understand the language, because it was that similar that they could. But it was something that they didn't know, something they didn't understand what was going on. Because their ears, God dulled their ears of hearing. They didn't know what the deal was. All right, read that in Deuteronomy 28.
The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flyeth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand.
And because if they turn from the Lord, God would do this. And God did do this, didn't it? And God will do this again in the tribulation time. He's surely going to bring these nations, more than one at the end of tribulation, down against there. Isaiah 5, 25 through 30. And see, Isaiah wrote this several years before Jeremiah. He wrote it during Hezekiah's reign. And God hadn't changed any, and neither did the nations, had they? The same. Verse 16, their quiver is as an open sepulcher. They're almighty men. The quiver is where they kept their arrows, and they're simply saying that these arrows bring forth death. Open sepulcher, the stench of a sepulcher. And they shall eat up thine harvest and thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters should eat. See? They're going to come and eat their food that they had planted and grown. They shall eat up the flock of the herds. See, they'll just be stolen, taken away from them. And they'll eat these things. They shall eat up the vines and the fig trees. They shall impoverish the fenced cities wherein thou trustest with the sword. Now, you look at this, and this is exactly what Israel did when they came into the land. They came in, they didn't build houses, they didn't plant vineyards. The first thing they did when they crossed Jordan was eat of the old corn of the land. And the reason for that is because the sins of the Amalekites, the sins of the people that was in that land, God was judging them for their sin. And they brought Israel in there to do it, didn't they? Now we have just the reverse of this. He's taking them out for the same reason. And they're going to lose everything that they had. The enemy will come in and eat from what they had raised and probably give them just enough to live on. Nevertheless, in those days, saith the Lord, oh, here we got again, have we? A little blessing here, touched in, I will not make a full end with you. And it shall come to pass when you shall say, wherefore saith the Lord our God all these things unto us? Wherefore doeth the Lord our God all these things unto us? And they should know the answer to that. Then shall thou answer them, like as ye have forsaken me. This is the reason that we've done this. And serve strange gods in your land. So shall ye serve strangers in the land that is not yours. And we can apply some of these principles even today, because when God's people today have idols in their life, then they're going to come up loser in the long run. They may have some natural gains, but they're going to come up loser. And so did Israel here. Declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah. Let everybody know all about it, whether it's Israel or Judah. Hear now this, O foolish people without understanding, and how true this is, and how it will be even more so in the last days, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. See, the natural eye can't see, the natural ear can't hear, the natural heart can't understand God's things, can he? Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 2:19. Isn't it 19? I think it is. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Don't you reverence me? Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed in the sand for a bound of the sea by a perpetual degree? Now he's showing forth his power here to them, a power that should make them tremble at his presence. The fact that he put a boundary to the sea, and the sands by the seashore show forth this boundary. It cannot pass it. This boundary isn't movable. Though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. God has complete control of all things. Even though a terrible hurricane come, it still settles back to the same boundary, doesn't it? And God is the one that holds that. So they should fear this God of his power. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. This is their problem. It's a people with heart trouble, isn't it? That's your problem, they got heart trouble. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of harvest. You see, they wouldn't say this. Although this was true, they still wouldn't say it. They thought that other gods was controlling these things and not the real God. So they wouldn't say, let us fear the Lord, the one that gives us the fall rain and one that gives the latter rain and the one that has harvest time and gets the sunshine at the right time so that we can harvest our crops. No, they wouldn't give him the credit for that at all. Your iniquities have turned away these things. You see, it all hinges back to their iniquities and the sins. Their sin have withholden good things from you. God wants to give them these things, but their sin, their rebellious nature, their rebellious attitude wouldn't let this happen. How God wanted to when Jesus was here, how he wanted to usher in the kingdom, but unbelief ushered in a kingdom age instead. Ushered in the church age instead. For among my people are found wicked men that lie awake, as they that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men. The evil men thinking have very little regard for other people's lives. They're no more than a bird in a cage. So are their houses full of deceit. Therefore, they are become great and wax rich. They are waxing fat and they shine, getting better and better and more prosperous and all these things. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless. They should be thinking of them. They're thinking only of themselves, yet they prosper. And people can't understand why the wicked prosper. David had a problem with that thought, didn't he? And he says, I had trouble with this till I went in the house of the Lord. But and the right of the needy do they not judge? Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on all of such a nation as this? This is the second time he asked almost the same question. Verse 9, he had almost the same question, and the answer still the same. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed into this land. Fearful, the thought here in verse 29, astonished things that are hard to understand, and fearful, horrible things is committed in this land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests shall bear by their means. In other words, the priests will do what they want to do. They'll say what they want to say, not the truth, not the word of God. The prophets will prophesy falsely, and so will the priests will rule falsely. It'll be their own minds, and my people love to have it. You know, it's interesting how people feel like they need leadership, even though they're wrong. And I see this more as we approach the the end of the age, and what will you do in the end thereof? That's a good question. We had this question somewhere before.